Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us live this morning, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Want to get to a lot of things. Kathy, thank you for the time.
Thank you for having me on the show. There's a lot of things going on, that's for sure.
That is true. Yesterday, we started to get a little more clarity on the reopening of schools and how that decision will be coming about, which we expect to find out now that first week of August. I'm wondering, though, is it possible that the reopening decision may be different based on, you know, each school district?
Well, certainly we're making a regional approach to this when you think about how we reopened different phases. The Finger Lakes went first. A couple days later, it was Western New York and some other regions of the state, New York City being the last because they were the hardest hit. So it is entirely possible that we'll be looking at it regionally. I don't think it'll be school district by school district, but that's yet to be determined. But the good news is that teachers and parents and the students now have some clarity as to when they will know. They will absolutely have an answer the first week in August, and some people say they want to know today. Well, we truly do not know the predictability of the virus and whether or not we're going to be able to continue to contain it in New York State the way we have so successfully. So we have to see what happens after the 4th of July. Is there a spike in cases? You know, what can we do to make the schools safe? There's a lot of variables, but finally we're getting to a place where we'll have clarity and parents will be able to find out exactly what's going to happen the first week in August. So I think that's a good development because there's been a lot of anxiety, a lot of questions, a lot of concerns ever since we had to shut down the schools in March, which was just a horrific situation for students, teachers, and parents alike.
Yeah, there's the obvious unknown as to what's going to happen in the future, but I'm wondering if we heard the American Academy of Pediatrics and also Dr. Stephen Turkovich from over here at Oshai Children's Hospital, the medical director there, say that it would be best for children to be back in a school setting. I'm wondering if that might weigh heavily on what the state is considering right now.
Well, certainly the children come first. I mean, we are looking at their emotional health and their development and their mental development, and a lot of time was lost this spring, and then we have to recapture that and get them back on track. But their physical health during a pandemic is paramount. We have to make sure that the environment is going to be safe to make sure that they don't contract it, spread it, inadvertently bring it home to their families. And we have safeguards that have been tested. We are studying what's happening in other countries. We know it worked in New York State in terms of some very basic measures to be taken. And that comes down to the social distancing, making sure people are wearing masks, making sure that there's constant disinfecting. And as we saw with the reopening of the malls, you put in a high-capacity air filter, you can actually filter out a lot of the particles, and we're being told that you can filter out the COVID virus, which could exist in air ducts and be circulated through a mall, for example. So we are making decisions as soon as we have to, but not a day sooner, because we want to make sure that we have all the data, all the science, all the technology that is going to work in our favor. And that's what we did with malls. That's what we're going to do with schools, and we're going to get it right.
Are we going to see more regulations for air filtration systems with other businesses besides malls?
That's under consideration. Again, the malls adapted to this very quickly. There's something known as a MERV 11 or MERV 13 filter. It's an air filter that you can use, which I've done some research on, and it's widely available. And so this is not a prohibitive recommendation, and certainly any business that wants to be proactive and install this to protect their employees, or if it's a customer-facing business that they would put to them, we'd certainly encourage it. I'm not aware that that's going to be mandatory elsewhere. Again, a mall is, by its nature, a place that people linger more. They're not just in and out of a store, which is our concern. They have food courts, which, you know, for the time being, the food courts are going to be takeout only. We don't want people to be sitting in an indoor environment any longer than necessary. So even when people go to the malls, we're encouraging them, yes, go spend your money, support the stores that have been so hard hit, and I thank the mall owners and others in the stores for their patience, but this is not a time to be hanging out and socializing with your friends in the malls. This is, we're still in the throes of a pandemic.
Looking at some of these other businesses, of course, gyms is something we get questions about all the time. If we're reopening malls, restaurants can reopen with limited capacity. A lot of gyms wondering, why can't they reopen even under some sort of, you know, heavy restriction? Everyone has to wear a mask. There's only so many people allowed per your capacity. Are we nearing that point? When will guidance come out for those businesses?
We are working on that. We have been concerned, and I'll tell you that when I was at the University of Buffalo Medical School with a panel of experts, the number one concern they had, when you compare activities such as restaurants and malls and casinos, gyms was the one that frightened them the most. And they said, by their nature, people are indoors for a longer period of time. You're not just going in and out. You are stationary in one place, and you are exuding body fluids, and the transmission rate and how the droplets of the COVID virus can go airborne and linger in the air that someone else won't even see but can be exposed to. This was a concern that not that just we had, but the medical experts told us this is one of the riskiest activities, and I've seen that borne in other studies around the country. Now, that being said, there could be a way to get it right, and we're taking advice and recommendations from the gym owners. I know they're frustrated. This is a very difficult time for them and their employees and the people who want to get back to the gyms. But there is a reason that New York State went from number one in the nation in terms of our rate of infection to having the lowest rate of infection, and that's because we've relied on the data and the science and experts to help chart our way through these very turbulent waters, and gyms are going to be an area we're going to get it right as well.
When does that, you mentioned the rate of infection, and we're now one of the lowest, and you look at that big nationwide map, right? If it goes red to green, New York is green and other areas are red. A lot of people wondering, you know, we heard so much back in March about the need to flatten the curve. And the governor said we didn't flatten the curve, we bent the curve. So people are wondering when that turns back into not no restrictions. I think everyone's kind of aware we're going to have to live differently for a longer period of time. But reopening a lot of these things that aren't yet part of the plans.
I will tell you, if we had seen our success replicated in the other states, we would be in a far better place. And this is what we thought when the numbers in New York State were trending downward. We were having great success. Other states seem to be, you know, staying about the same. But all of a sudden, after Memorial Day, other states saw dramatic increases. And now you see Arizona with the highest rate of infection. You see Florida. You see Texas. We've now had to quarantine people coming in from these states to protect all the sacrifice that we've had to endure to make sure that we don't see a setback. So other states that thought they were fine, in fact, other countries that thought they were out of the woods and were getting back to normal, are now seeing that virus come back. This is a wildly unpredictable virus, and we cannot sit here today in July and declare success, victory over this virus as much as we'd love to. And it would be irresponsible if we did. And that's why we're going to continue taking the cautious approach that has saved lives, protected New Yorkers, and given really a template of what to do right to the rest of the nation. And sadly, a lot of states are just not following it. They're continuing their reopenings, and to them, that's a political decision or whatever factors they're using. All I know is that I'd rather be a New Yorker right now than in any other state in the nation in terms of knowing we have leadership that are going to make the right decisions to protect public health and reopen the economy. The economy has opened in great. We've made great progress. I was touring Seneca One Tower yesterday, watching the construction going on. M&T is looking forward to welcoming back their workers in the fall. We're going to get there, but but we're going to do it in a way that we don't have a setback like they've seen in other states where they start now reclosing some of the activities and businesses that have reopened. I think that'd be devastating for New Yorkers to say, well, you came this far, you sacrificed, you did what we asked you, but you know, some people wanted to continue partying and hanging out with their family and didn't wear the masks and ignored what we told them. And I'm sorry, New Yorkers, we have to close up again. We're not going to do that. And we need New Yorkers to understand that and stick with us to get us through the end of this pandemic.
What about nursing home visitation? We are almost at 4 months since these facilities closed their doors to family members. I mean, hospitals are safely allowing visitors right now. Why not at nursing homes?
Susan, that is one of the toughest things we've had to deal with. And I've had family members in nursing homes, and I know the loneliness that they experience and how hard it is on them and the workers there trying to understand why no one's coming to see them. They are still the most vulnerable population. Yes, we're seeing a rate of increase among 20 to 40-year-olds that was not expected. The expectation early on was that it's only people above a certain age with underlying conditions, et cetera. They still remain vulnerable. That is still a fact, and we just don't want to jeopardize the people whose lives we've been able to save by limiting outside visitors and making sure that the employees are tested. But I will tell you that we are having those conversations. We know this has reached a point where it's just unbearable for many families, and we're very sensitive to that.
Looking at, you know, where we go forward here, I think a lot of the source of frustration maybe for a lot of businesses revolves not so much around the restrictions. There's a lot of people who understand completely why the restrictions are in place, but this idea of kind of who's the boss. There was a situation just a week ago where you had some bars that were opening and having musical acts. I don't know if you want to call it a concert because everyone had to be seated socially distanced the way they would inside of a restaurant with reduced capacity. One of those was allowed to go on. Another venue would schedule something and then have it go through the state liquor authority, who said you should be in the clear to do this, no problem. And Erie County came in and stopped in and said, well, we're going to have to shut this down. And we'll report you to the state liquor authority, who already gave them the okay. It kind of creates this confusion of who's the boss, who has the final say when it comes to these recommendations. Is it, in a situation like that, the county? Is it the state liquor authority? Is it just the governor, period?
And I will say there are some outlier situations that you mentioned where there may be some inconsistency. But overall, there has been a united force where the governor has determined based on the health metrics, it's not him alone, it's the health metrics, on what activities can be reopened. And if it's a bar or an entity, that a restaurant that has a liquor license, the state liquor authority is working there as well. But we also are counting on our local partners. This is not something that we can physically enforce. We do not have the manpower, the woman power, to be able to go into these entities to make sure there's compliance. So we have asked Erie County and the other counties to help us with this. And they have been amazing partners and understanding that it is they're charged with enforcing public health laws. So in instances where there's confusion, you know, we will work through that. But by and large, I believe it's working well, and that restaurants need to understand that the guidelines are posted. You go to forward.ny.gov. It's very clear. If you want to read the mall guidelines, they are extensive. Every aspect is covered. So they should look to that, and in a situation where they have express approval from the liquor authority to undertake an activity and it's approved of, those conversations can be had. But, you know, basically it's the state liquor authority, Department of Health, and the governor as a force to set the policy, but it is the locals who are the ones who are physically going in and enforcing it. And we couldn't do this without our local departments of health. And I want to thank them for the extraordinary work that they've had to undertake to make sure that there is compliance. It is the states where people are not complying where you see the setbacks and the increase in infection, and those communities are under siege right now, hospitals overflowing with patients, all the things that we experienced in our state. And I thank everyone who's been part of this team effort to make sure that we're protecting health and enforcing the law.
We're live with Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul on WBEN Buffalo. Kathy, we know there are 19 states right now that are on the quarantine list here in New York. To what extent is the state monitoring travelers coming in from other states?
Well, certainly the easiest point of entry is an airport, so we know what states people are coming from, and we are you know, intercepting people and telling them we need to make sure that you quarantine, you know, where are you going to be going, and there's very, very strict rules on what quarantining even means, you know, how they have to be separated from people for literally 2 weeks. We are trying to discourage people from even taking the effort to come here, and people who leave voluntarily to go on their summer vacation from New York to Florida, we say, please don't do that. But if you are, you're going to be quarantined when you come back. It's also, I mean, you have to, for people driving into our state, I can tell you there's a lot of people alerting the authorities when they see a license plate from Florida or they know that a neighbor has been away. So it's, you know, it's not something that we have the long reach of the government into everyone's home. We don't know all their activities and we don't want to. We want to also trust New Yorkers and trust that that people will understand why we had to take such a drastic step. But all you have to do is look at the local news every single day. And the numbers that are the infection rates and the hospitalizations in other states are frightening. And we don't want them to bring that to us because we have been through hell and back and we're not going there again.
We've seen in some other states, they're talking about some of the things we were talking about in New York several months ago when it comes to hospital capacity, maybe not having enough PPE in hospitals and for other businesses. I guess a two-part question. Is New York still in good shape when it comes to those two things because of what was built up back in March? And I guess, what do you think of when you see some of these other states that had, you know, much more time to build that up and are now running into this problem?
To answer your first question, yes. And in fact, New York State told all the hospitals you need to have at least a 90-day supply of PPE in order to start having elective surgeries. Remember how long it took for us to even allow people who were not COVID patients or not emergencies to enter the hospital? So we did this in a very smart way, and there's a guarantee that we've created a template that was so easy for other states to follow. When you're the epicenter and you have all the international experts advising you and you get it right, like we did in New York, we have been willing to share that. We've talked to the other states. We'll share anything you need, our expertise, how we established the testing program, how we established contact tracing, what the best protocols are. Even in our reopening phases, what businesses were in each one and how much time was between each. And other states, and I have to blame a lot of their governors. Their governors had the same ability to go on television every day, talk about masks, talk about social distancing, talk about the sacrifices that need to be made and pull people together. And they had a different philosophy, and I don't know why. And I, as an American citizen, it pains me to know that the loss of life and the infections that are now consuming individuals, young people particularly in these other states, was all preventable. New York gave them the template. We gave them the game book. You could have followed this, and you had the time to prepare. And now to be caught where we were, yes, we're there to help. Many people came from across this country. 30,000 healthcare workers came from all over America and helped New Yorkers. We want to be there to help others. But ours was not preventable. What happened in these other later states was absolutely preventable, and that is a tragedy.
Kathy, we appreciate the time this morning. That's Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.